Welcome to service, everyone. Happy Pentecost Sunday. Hey, are you ready for the word? Say yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness, we are still in the book of Daniel. We're still in chapter 2. We are still in the sermon called The Giant Statue. There's only two parts to this, so today is the last part of it, okay? And I promise you, we're headed out of Daniel chapter 2, and then it's going to move fast, and I guarantee you it's going to be done by the time we return. Say yeah. Yeah. So remember, just before I read the scripture, okay, I just want to remind you what happened. Remember last week, it was Daniel being called upon to interpret the dream for King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel not only tells the dream that nobody could tell, right, because God reveals it to him, but he also interprets it. And in the interpretation, we find that Daniel is basically saying that there will be kingdoms after kingdoms after you, King Neb. And really, it's not about you. You're just a part of a story that God is writing. And all of this, remember the word telos? All of this is headed towards that great and final day when God's kingdom will rise and it'll crush all the other kingdoms. And the kingdom and God of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, will be established forever and ever. And then we talked about how the first group of people that this dream pertains to is the people in power. Remember that? And how the people in power, their mantra is always, no, 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 I don't want anything to change. I want to be in power forever. And then we talked about the second group of people that this pertains to. And this dream pertains to those that call themselves the people of God today and yesterday, right? And it pertains to all of us that say, well, I thought the kingdoms were all about us. And it speaks to our own desire for our own kingdoms and using God's kingdom to establish our kingdoms. But we found, no, God has a different agenda. God is establishing his kingdom, and he's inviting us as well into that theology or that truth and that telos. You guys remember that? And so we find ourselves wanting to talk about the last group that this dream pertains to or that speaks to. And so before I go into that, I just want to read a portion of the dream's interpretation again, okay? So in today's scripture, it says, Daniel says, you are the head of gold. Remember? He says, King Neb, you and your kingdom. But then, verse 39, after you, another kingdom will arise. And then he talks about next, the third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, and it will crush and break all the others. And then verse 44, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. And it will itself endure forever. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So we find ourselves in that dream, interpretation of that dream, King Nebuchadnezzar hearing the dream and the interpretation, and how startling or how frightening it must have been for him to hear it, but also for the people of God, maybe even disappointing. Well, it's not about us either, right? It's not about our comfort. It's not about us quenching the thirst of loneliness for ourselves. The church is not about us. And we talked about that, how when we're going to return, we're not going to return just to quench that thirst of loneliness. No, it's about carrying that cross and living for the kingdom, right? But the third group we have to speak about today that I want you to meditate on and reflect on, especially in the times that we live in today, okay? If you're ready for the third group of people, I want you to say, yes.
Yes.
Yes. I love it. So the third group of people is this, the people in exile. The people that are in exile. Who are these people? It's the contemporary of Daniel. It's Daniel's friends and families and all those that were deported from Israel that are in Babylon. This dream affects them as well. I want you to hear this. Now, again, when most of us, or the people of God, I imagine, even back then, hear this, they're like, yeah, Daniel, you tell them the truth. It's not about King Neb. It's not about any of these kingdoms. All the towers of Babels of this world are going to be destroyed by that rock that rises up supernaturally. Man, yeah! But then I'm imagining there will be a quiet lure, a silence over the crowd as they hear this interpretation or read it amongst themselves. And they will say, wait a minute, but what about us? Daniel, what about us? Anything in the dream about us? About our restoration? About our return to Israel? No. No mention of the Davidic kingdom. No mention of the restoration of Israel. No mention of the temple. Come on, somebody. The temple, the most important landmark to the Jewish people. Right? Especially to the exiles. No mention of it, right? There is a glaring absence of not only Israel and its kingdom, but there is a glaring, shockingly glaring absence of any mention of those who are held captive in Babylon. This is just all about God and his kingdom. What's up with that? Right? So here's the truth. Are you ready for the truth? It's not about you, you people in power. It's not about you, you people of God everywhere. It's not about you, you people in exile, hoping for restoration. It's just not about you. And I know you and I raised in a world that highly idolizes the affections held in empathy. But you know what? There's no empathetic moment here. There's no such empathy for these victims. Like, oh man, how about these guys that are here? How about these guys that are imprisoned in Babylon? Man, I feel bad for them. There is no feeling bad for them here. There's not a mention of them. Actually, scripture says the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It's not going to be shared. It's not going to be given to anyone. And it's also not going to be what? Returned to these people in exile. This is quite discouraging and disturbing, is it not? Imagine yourselves, guys, as Daniel and his contemporaries hearing this. If I was Daniel's friend, I'd be like, dude, you heard the dream wrong, bro. You suck at interpreting, man. Don't you know that God will want us to return? Don't you know that God wants to restore everything? How about us? So this dream does not seem to overly affirm their status in the kingdom. Come. The dream's hope lies in the supernatural origin of this kingdom established on earth forever. It's literally from God, and it's not to be shared. The power and the glory is not to be shared with anyone. But here is my point today. Every one of you guys, when I talked about this last week, you're like, oh, I can think of people in power. I can think of people of God who wish for their kingdoms to be established so that they're no longer lonely, or they find their purpose in this, in their own kingdom, right? You guys can all relate to them. But who the heck are these people in exile, right? I'm going to tell you who these people are, okay? In Daniel, it says in chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and we talked about this in chapter 1, Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he besieges the city, right? Verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into king's service, here's the point, some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Who is in exile, and why does this dream speak to them? You know who's in exile? The top 1% of Israel. Do you know who is in Babylon? It's the top 1% of Jerusalem's society. It's the higher class. It's the wealthy. It's the privileged. It's the educated. Come on, somebody. If a foreign nation was to capture us today, they took a bunch of people away from this land. What this is saying is it would have taken the rich. It would have taken the Fortune 500 folks. Come on, somebody. It would have taken those in power, government power, education power, social influencer power, wealthy. It would have taken, I'm sorry to say this, but it would have taken the white people. It would have taken white, mostly white men, of educated white men of privilege. They would have taken them too. I'm not trying to be racist here. I'm just saying this is the top 1% that was taken away. Do you know who was left behind? Do you know who was left behind? In Israel, in Jerusalem, after it was totally besieged and destroyed by Babylon, you know who was left behind? Regular people. The poor. The Jewish Virtual Library says it like this. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Chaldeans, only deported the most prominent citizens of Judah. Professionals, priests, craftsmen, and the wealthy. The people of the land, were allowed to stay. There were rivalries between the two groups of Jews. It is clear that the wealthy and the professional Jews in Babylon regarded themselves as the true Jewish people. Oh, man, today is not going to be a good day for us. I just want you to know this. The third group that we're mentioning here, that we're dealing with, that this dream deals with, are the privileged. Now, imagine, before I get to the privileged people, imagine if you're the poor, the people of the land, okay? You're the uneducated, blue-collar working, single mom, person of color. Come on, somebody. And you're left behind. Imagine if Daniel's dream says something like this. Someday this rock's going to rise from the ground, from the earth. No human hands would have made this come up, this kingdom of God. And imagine if you're the poor in Israel hearing this. Are you ready? And God will return the temple and the kingdom of God to those in exile. I hope you're catching this. Imagine if the interpretation of the dream was a promise of restoration for those in exile only. What would you hear as a person left behind in Jerusalem? That's not good news for me. Because if that's what the kingdom of God is about, that means God is only about the wealthy. That means God is only about the top 1%. That means God actually cares for them. And we are screwed again. And God, because guess what? When they return and get everything back, come on, somebody, we're going to be oppressed again by our own wealthy and educated and the majority. Why is this dream and its interpretation so powerful? Because it's good news to the poor. It's good news to the outcast. It's good news to those left behind in Jerusalem. This dream, this telos where everything's headed, is good news for the poor and the hurting of our world, because God's kingdom is not about the restoring of those in power that have used their power incorrectly or unrighteously. Come on, somebody. The good news is that when Jesus came and when the kingdom of God comes again in fullness, it's the setting up of a righteous kingdom forever. And the hurting and those in tears, those that were always excluded before there was an exile, come on. Even before there was an exile, there were exiles in their own land. For those people, the kingdom of God is good news. But this truth and this interpretation of this dream, not so good news for those in exile. You know, in the beginning of this series, we talked about, I mentioned Psalms 137. Scholars say that Psalms 137 is actually probably the only psalm that they can, with complete confidence, put a date, a timeline on when it was written. And basically what scholars say is that Psalms 137 was most definitely written during the period, the 50 years of deportation when the exiles were in Babylon. We know that for sure, okay? The other psalms, we don't really know when the dates are, and we don't, there's always guesses about who wrote what, and there could be debates. But this psalm, they know it was written in Babylon, it was written during the deportation, and it was written from the voice of the exiles. And I want you to see what Psalms 137 says. It says in verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. Why are the exiles weeping and trying to get back to Zion? Can you tell me this? Why are they weeping over that place? Why is there such a fond memory of their homeland? It's because there they had the comforts of this world. There they had all the power in this world. There they were the kings of their own kingdom. Walter Brueggemann says, what you have to remember is that the one singing this psalm, this is the privileged who remembered a Jerusalem that didn't exist. Oh, I hope you hear this. Brueggemann is saying their memory of Jerusalem, it's a fantasy. This type of Jerusalem didn't exist for everyone. It only existed for the rich. Oh, I hope you hear this. They over-remember the good old days. We know from the prophets that Jerusalem was a place of exploitation and greed and injustice. Isn't this powerful? What they remember is their privilege and their wealth and how well off they were. They didn't notice the other stuff. Do you know why this dream speaks to people of privilege? Because it's saying you can't have restoration without repentance. You see, we live in a world where the people of privilege want the good old days, but the good old days was only good for them. The good old days were not good for the people of color. The good old days were not good for Israelites that were farmers, commoners. Come on, somebody. The good old days, oh, they missed and wept for Israel. Why? Why were they weeping for Jerusalem? They were weeping for that comfort, that status, that power, that privilege that it came with. They don't remember their corrupt lives. Man, I have a word for you, Echo. This dream speaks to us. I know you're thinking right now, oh, people be going after the rich and the privileged. Yeah, go after them, PB. Echoes a prophetic word to our nation. No, I'm talking to us too. Do you know that you and I are privileged? Do you know that most likely, let's just be honest, except for maybe the color of our skin, most of us in our church will probably fill up the top tier of a certain social class? Most of us are educated like Daniel. Come on, somebody. Most of us, white-collar jobs. Most of us in comfort and privilege and have power. If you're not worried about tomorrow, you're a person of privilege. If your greatest issue today is, where should we eat? Versus, will I eat? You are probably on the upper echelon of things. And COVID has done something to us. COVID has exposed who the people of the land are and who the people in exile are. Who the people in power and privilege are. And do you know who they are? You can tell if you are a person crying over Jerusalem, like these folks in Babylon, right? If you're a person who wants things to go back to the way it used to be. People of privilege, their main mantra is, I want to go back to the good old days. Do you hear this from anyone? You hear this from Christians? I want to go back to the good old days when Christianity was the main dominant religious force in America. Too late. Goodbye. Christians in America don't remember how much corruption that it was a part of, how much injustice that it upheld, right? We can just talk about the civil rights era. Good old days, not for everyone. The rich white man. I wish we can go back to the good old days of America where there was peace and stability in our cities. What's up with all this violence in our cities? What's up with this violent protest? What's up with people wanting change? It's because you're a person of privilege. And Daniel's dream says nothing to those people, and it frustrates us. For people of privilege, Daniel's dream is a confrontation. Come on. Towards our corruption. So privilege makes us desire for restoration, a return to how things used to be without repentance. The privilege doesn't care about justice that requires change. Do you know who, if we interviewed people right now, okay, you just go out to your neighbors and interview, do you want change or do you want to go back to the old days? You can tell what group of people they are when they say, no, I want things to change. After COVID, I want things to be different. You know that person is a person in the underprivileged parts of society. Come on, guys. So when this dream speaks to them, they are happy because they're like, God's kingdom's going to be established and it's not going to be the way it used to be. The privileged and the powerful will say, I don't like this interpretation of this dream, Daniel. I like it when you say God's going to destroy Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, but where is the mention of our restoration? There is none. Now, I'm gonna do something. I want to just show you something, okay? In our time. Now, again, I want you guys to know this, okay? I am not Republican, nor am I Democrat, okay? Now, it looks like I'm Democrat lately, right? Through, if you guys looked at my social media and stuff, because I'm like, supportive of certain ideas. But I want to say something to you. In our nation, the Democratic Party, the Democrats and the Republicans, both sleep with the privileged. Both are in bed with people in power. And both, if they were to tell the truth, many of those, even on the left, long for restoration of how things used to be. So this is not a knock on one of the parties, but I want to show you this image that I had Heidi make, okay? I want you to see this hat, okay? And you see this hat? It's the MAGA hat, right? Make America Great Again. If you look in the last few years and you look at the newsreels and you look at who is the one wearing this and who is the one chanting, it's those who are in privilege that want things back the way it used to be again. Oh man, I hope you hear this. The very mantra of this camp is this: take us back to when we were in power. Or should I say, by the rivers of Babylon, they sit and weep and they remember America. For the Israelites or the Jews in exile, this is the hat they will be wearing. Make Jerusalem great again. Make us great again. But Jerusalem for who? And great for who? You see, as I end this, I want you to hear this. The people in positions of privilege, they must hear the truth. Their time will end. Or in this case, in Babylon, it has ended already for them. They must move forward and not look back, or else they'll miss what God wants to do in and through them. Oh, man, I hope you hear this. Have you ever heard the biblical text that says, see, God is doing a new thing. Do not look to the former things, right? But look to look forward, right? Because God is doing a new thing, right? Don't miss what God is about to do. Many of us in positions of privilege, right? We're going to miss what God wants to do if all we do is look back, trying to get what we used to have. And this dream calls us forward. This dream says, don't look in the past, look in the future. And before I close, I really need to say this to you guys, especially you Echo people that are wanting to come back to church in the fall. Many of us, listen, many of us have a mental photo album. And it shows like moments of Echo. You over-remember how good it used to be. Oh, man, the fellowship was awesome. Can I be honest with you? It wasn't always awesome. Okay? Oh, the Seder, the Passover, that time at Echo when we did this, it was awesome. We over-remember. And you over-remember because you were probably one of the ones really in the group. You probably were the ones comfortable at Echo. You probably were the ones in leadership or whatnot. And you over-remember and you want things to return the way it used to be. Echo is changing. Echo is moving forward. And when we get back, it will not be the way it used to be. It will require more of you, more death on your part, more time, more talent, more tithe. It will require more of you taking up the cross daily. It will require more of you to move forward so that God's kingdom can be a blessing for everyone at Echo and everyone outside of Echo and not just you. You know what I hear all the time from people that come back to Echo after having gone for a while? You know what they say to me all the time? You know what they say to me? PB, Echo's not the way I remember it. I go, of course. And they're like, I know, but several years ago when I used to go here before I moved and came back, it used to be a place of like intimacy and family. And I felt so connected. And I felt that. And in my mind, I'm thinking, dude, this person over-remembers everything because this person was not always this happy about our church. Why are they saying that? They're saying, I want to go back to when I was comfortable, when I was privileged, when I have friends here, when I walked into this church and I didn't feel any shame or any guilt or any discomfort or any sense of loneliness. I want to go back to that. Well, guess what, church? God's going to start bringing people into our church that makes you uncomfortable. God's going to start sending us out to places that make you uncomfortable. If that's not what you're about and you're not about the kingdom of God ahead of us and in front of us and in today, don't come back. Just don't come back. PB, I want the church back there. Go back there somehow and live there. Okay? But we're not going there. We are moving forward. We are watching what God's doing today and tomorrow. We want to be part of the new and of the kingdom. Amen? So the people of privilege will say, I wish we can go back to the good old days. So I am with this today. PB, what's the verse of this week? PB, give me something to chew on and recite all week. I'm going to give it to you. Okay? But it's the same one from last week. Okay? And it's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into that privileged life or that life of over-remembrance. Come on, somebody, right? But deliver us from evil, right? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is your verse for the week. All week, I want you to recite that again. All week, every day, I want you to wake up and pray the Lord's Prayer so that you can be brought into truth. You can be brought in to God's telos and God's truth, God's reality. You can be part of the narrative of God so that you don't over-remember. You're not sitting there thinking about the good old days all the time. You're ready to jump in on what God is doing today and what God will do tomorrow. So recite the Lord's Prayer and let the interpretation of the dream pull you out of false narratives and bring you into reality. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you for our church. God, I thank you, God, that this dream is a true dream. That this dream is not a flattery to us. This dream is not a promise for restoration for the corrupt. This dream is about the kingdom of God that has come when you came, Jesus Christ. It was inaugurated by you, and God, it's going to be completed by you someday. No human hand will contribute to it. And that makes us happy because we know there will be no corruption. There will be no one left out. There will be justice and peace and shalom for everyone. That's what we want to be a part of. So Lord, get us ready. Help us to get rid of over-remembrance. Help us to get out of our privileged lives and into the cross-carrying lives. We love you and we thank you. And we thank you, God, for your truth. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, church. I love you guys. Can't wait to see you next week. Come on, let's get in the Word. Recite that Lord's Prayer. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. See you later. Bye.